It is the first Sunday of the new year, and our God is still on the throne of glory and power, and we count on His faithfulness throughout this new year. Now, I thought it would be appropriate and right and vital for us to consider the truth revealed in Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 10. This passage speaks of the glory and majesty and sovereignty of God. That is Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 10. And if at all possible, please get out your Bible and turn to that passage. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 10. Now let's bow for prayer. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, we pray, we ask, we depend upon you to take the message off the page and put it into our lives. Dear Holy Spirit, visit us now in the study of your word and make it living and real to all of us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now would you follow the reading of this text? Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 10. Here it is. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who opposes his maker. Let the potsherd drive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you beginning? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Now the purpose of this passage is to reveal that God is the only God and that he is in control of everything. I said that I believe that this passage was right and appropriate and vital for us on this first Sunday of the new year. The greatest weakness in the church today is an inadequate concept of God. J.I. Packer has stated that we have reduced God to human size. And because the church presents and proclaims a weakened God, it has no impact on society. People in our society have no fear of God. They can ridicule him, curse him, attempt to drive him out of our life and out of our nation without fear. And that is because the church presents and proclaims a weakened God. So we must restore God to his rightful place of sovereignty in the church to make an impact on the nation. This is vital. Now let's approach the text. How shall we do that? Well, let's ask a question. What does this text teach us about God? And the first point is this. This text teaches us who God is, or what does God say about himself, since Isaiah is quoting God. And God states who he is, what he says about himself, by saying he is God and there is no other. Now this is vitally important. There is one God, one Creator God, one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, one God of salvation, one God of judgment, one God who is in the control of eternal destiny of all beings. He alone is God. He said, "There is no God besides me." We need to know that. Now, in our day, it is very popular for Christian leaders and leaders of other religions to gather in the pretense of unity. And they get great reviews in the papers, and everybody thinks they're so wonderful. Isn't it nice? They're meeting in love and peace for unity. I will have no part in those meetings. I will not pretend that I can worship with them when they are worshiping Buddha, the Hindu gods, the God who is not the triune God of the Bible. To do so, I must compromise our God, the God we have just read about here in Isaiah. We must not compromise and deny Jesus Christ. Christ is not allowed to be mentioned in those meetings. They are popular, and we need to be careful. Today, we have one God of the Bible, one God of our Lord Jesus Christ, one God Creator. He reveals himself. Now, an interesting thought about the revelation of God occurred in the time of Moses. Moses was in exile, really, out of the land, and God visited him and said, go back to Egypt and go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Now, there are other things that were said, but Moses then said, I go to Pharaoh and I tell him, the Lord said, let my people go. And so he did that. What shall I say? Who shall I say sent me? Or who is the Lord? And the Lord God said to Moses, tell them, I am sent you. Essentially, he said, I am who I am. I am. Now, Jesus picked that up in John chapter 8 in discussing Abraham. He said, before Abraham, I am. What a very, very important revelation. It contains the thought of I was, I am now, and I always will be. I am the God, and there is no other. God reveals himself. The Old Testament name Jehovah is translated Lord. It's about God himself, the God who is eternal, self-existent, the God who is sovereign reality. Jehovah, meaning supernatural existence, meaning permanent existing. It is as though God is saying to the world, I am here. I will always be here. I am Jehovah, the only God. Interesting to note that in the scripture, God thinks highly of his name. And his name is to be hallowed and revered. That's why the message of this song, his name is wonderful, is so important. Our God, who is he? There are four classic attributes that speak of God. That he is omnipotent, that is omnipotent, all-powerful, unlimited ability. He is omniscient, omniscient, which means all-knowing. God knows everything, has never learned anything because he has always known everything. God is omnipresent. Able to be everywhere. God is immutable, that is, unchanging. This text reveals who God is. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Now, secondly, this passage reveals what God does. And this is a statement by God himself about what he does. Listen to this. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. God said, he formed light. As in shaping, molding light into existence. Light comes out of God himself, and he forms and shapes it for us. And he says he creates darkness. God, the Creator God, who in a sense makes everything out of nothing, that is creation, but that isn't exactly true. Because God creates out of Himself. Everything God creates comes out of Himself, and He creates darkness. Now we need to make a spiritual application about this. The light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And how is He the light? He is the light because He is also the truth. And if we don't have truth, we live in spiritual darkness. If we don't have truth, we're believing a lie. Every unbeliever is living in a lie, a falsehood, and not living in the light. The darkness is a realm, and that's where unbelievers live. We have been transported into the kingdom of light, the light of truth regarding our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Who does this? God says, I form the light and create darkness. Now God says furthermore, I make peace. I make peace out of my own arrangement, out of my own providence. And the only reason we can live on this earth with any semblance of peace is by God's doing. Because He controls the sin nature to the extent that there is some peace. God does that. Now He says another very interesting thing. Not only I form the light, I create and I make peace. I create calamity. A very interesting term in the Hebrew language. This word translated calamity has 70 possible translations. 70. Now, the Old King James renders this word evil. And that's one of the meanings of this word. Very wicked. It also refers to destruction, tragedies, calamities. Where do they come from? God says, I create calamity. Now, the world really objects to this, and many Christian leaders do not accept this. They will say, God is in good things, Satan is in the bad things. Well, we are really in jeopardy if Satan is in control. No, the Lord God is in control, and tragedies and difficulties come through Him. Now we have the recent tragedy called the tsunami in the Indonesian area. How did this happen? Why did this happen? And who is in control of it? It is the Lord God Almighty we're reading about here in Isaiah chapter 45. Throughout the history of the world, God has used earthquakes for His own purposes. God has used wind and waves for His own purposes. God uses tragedy, calamity for His own purposes. And if you recall with me, way back there in Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, it seems like there was a flood that covered the earth. That is the original tsunami. God caused it. God controlled it. And God used it for His own purpose. Who is God? He is the only God. What does He do? He forms light, creates darkness, makes peace, and creates calamity. And He says, I, the Lord, do all these things. Now there is a third point in this passage which must be considered. Woe to him who strives or opposes his maker. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? The third point is this, that God must not be questioned. There is danger to resist or oppose the Lord God. And the translation says, woe to him who will do this. It will bring great grief and eternal judgment for us to question God. How futile for a human being to attempt in any way to question our God or to resist Him. In Psalm 2, the author says that the kings of the earth raise themselves up against God. And what will God do? He will laugh at their futility, put them in derision, and conquer them. God must not be questioned. Shall the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? What are you making? Why are you making me like this? It's absurd. It's ridiculous. It's worse than that. It is opposition to the Lord God. In Romans chapter 9, we have this same thing. Shall the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? No, we must bow and surrender to the providence of our Lord God. Do not object to what He is doing in the history of the world, nor in our own lives. Agree with Him. God's will shall be done. No human being can oppose forever the will of God. Listen to this in chapter 46 and verse 10. I am God and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. What is that? That is absolute sovereignty. Now, what is the concept in many of the churches today? It is this. We will mouth God's sovereignty, but it is not absolute. When it comes to human will, the human will can oppose and defeat and thwart and overthrow the will of God. And when it comes to salvation, the sinner must cooperate and must bow to his own free will, not the will of God. The greatest idolatry in the church today is the worship of free will. People rise up in defense of free will more than they proclaim the sovereignty of God. How do we respond today? In our churches, we must restore the proclamation of the absolute sovereignty of God in the church and to the world, and let the nation know we have a sovereign God in absolute control. Until that occurs, our culture will continue to go downhill morally. And those who want to rid the nation of the name of God in Christ will continue to rise in power until there is the realization you don't play games with God. Woe to him who strives with his Maker or opposes the Creator. May God bless this passage to the hearts of those who listen today and use it to make an impact on our lives. Lord, may this passage make an impact on my life today and forever, and in the lives of all who listen. Let the Word of God once again, be powerful in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.